Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Black Cake is an epic mix of history, mystery, mayhem, and intimate identity. The saga unfolds Wednesday on Hulu, and later this hour you will hear from executive producer and showrunner Marissa Jo Sorar. Also ahead, the latest on the actors' strike and the passing of Matthew Perry, a big turn ahead for Sesame Street, and our classic trivia question. And we'll also let you know what the story is with Dude Perfect TV. We just got news on that. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, the Zencast Creator Network, and more than 40 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you by Laird Superfood, plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Happy pre-Halloween Monday 2023 to you and all, and welcome to the program all about TV's current and future. 63 degrees outside the Big Apple at this hour. Happy to have you with us. We have a wonderful guest coming your way in the 60 minutes ahead, and we invite you, as always, be part of the program. It is so simple. Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we've got the chat room going. It's available for you right now. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will put you on. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions and other people be live with you. We will tell you about the trick that we just found out about with Dude Perfect TV, and we'll have the rest of the program for you. But first, we've got news notes. There's growing perception among observers of the Screen Actors Guild after strike that one or two more deal-making creating sessions with the TV Film Producers Alliance, known as AMPTP, may bring this strike to an end. When the next SAG-AFTRA encounter with AMPTP will happen is unknown at this hour. However, the Guild is expected to announce when and where in Los Angeles later today after several hours of proposal review. Sources tell various entertainment news organizations that substantial progress was made between the two factions on such key issues as made content residuals and artificial intelligence parameters this weekend. Tributes continue to go public over the passing of Friends co-star Matthew Perry. Perry, age 54, was found dead at his Los Angeles home Saturday afternoon local time. The cause of death remains under investigation by the city's medical examiner's office. Friends maker Warner Brothers Television labeled Perry, and I quote, an incredibly gifted actor. His legacy will live on in the hearts of so many. I'll tell you what, over the next 15 or 20 minutes, if you'd like to talk about Matthew Perry and his career on Friends and other TV matters, give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and we will have a special segment on Perry's life and TV career on our next episode this Wednesday afternoon, and we will, if we need to, make it a 90-minute show for that. Sesame Street fans, be on alert for a huge change of the iconic series when season 56 begins in 2025. The format will go from multiple segments per half hour to just three, two live action, sandwiching a Tales from 1-2-3 tune. The tune will explore the characters living inside the TV landscape's most notable apartment building, and eventually could have a series all its own. Sesame Workshop officials disclosed that to the Hollywood Reporter. Season 56 may also be the first running over a different television service. Max now premieres Sesame Street episodes, with PBS running them 9 months later. The arrangement ends next year. Now quickies, Nautilus. The 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea series adaptation, produced for and then canceled by Disney Plus in the context write down off action, will land on AMC's deck. Both AMC and AMC Plus will run Nautilus next year. And we couldn't end this roundup of TV news today without something fit for, you guessed it, Halloween. Here goes. Amazon is working on a new Poltergeist series under its MGM unit. I'm not kidding. They are working on a new Poltergeist series under its MGM unit, a unit that from 1995 to 1999 made Poltergeist the legacy on Showtime, Sci-Fi, and at one point was also syndicated on broadcast stations. And that is news notes for today. We were hoping to have the first half hour of our program devoted to the folks behind the new Dude Perfect TV channel. That is an organization known as Apparent Media Company. And yes, the Dude Perfect people themselves. Now, if you don't know who Dude Perfect is, they are one of the most popular people on YouTube. They are a fivesome. They're known as the Dudes. And they participate in all sorts of fun sports challenges, stunts, and unique ways to break world records of every kind. Now, over the last 14 years, they've released nearly 400 videos for 8 to 16-year-olds on their YouTube channel. They also did it before on Whistle Sports, the website. Currently, they reach nearly 60 million subscribers. It is among the most popular top 30 YouTube channels anywhere in El Mundo. And earlier this month, thanks to the service known as, or the company known as A Perfect Media Co., they have been running their own service. Now, originally, Dude Perfect videos were on, for the last 11 months, Kidoodle TV, another very popular service available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles all over the world. In fact, more than 160 countries. Now, Dude Perfect is on its own channel, and there are plans to make it interactive. Now, for the last month, we have been trying to get Neil Gruninger, he is the president and chief executive officer of Apparent Media Company and Kidoodle, as well as Dude Perfect member Chad Coleman to come on this program. We originally thought we had them 2 weeks ago, then they both got sick, then we had to reschedule for this half hour. Well, we got a Halloween trick played, unfortunately. We just learned 2 minutes before we went on the air from their publicist that, yep, they got sick again. So they will not be with us today. However, we have been assured, we have guaranteed, been assured that they will be on Wednesday as our lead guest. So we will have them on Wednesday in this very half hour. Once again, it will be Neil Gruninger, the president and chief executive officer of Apparent Media Company, which organized this Dude Perfect TV channel, and the member of Dude Perfect himself, Chad Coleman. And incidentally, if you haven't heard, there are some very exciting plans for this channel. In a matter of weeks, they expect to have original videos that will be interactive, where one of the dudes is going to win a particular challenge at the end of the video, but the audience is going to be able to choose, that's you out there, are going to be able to choose who you think is going to win in each particular video. Also, the service is also going to have user-generated content, including a feature where you'll be able to submit your own videos and win a chance to appear on an upcoming Dude Perfect TV segment. And one of those will be their very popular Trick Shot of the Month videos. So that's also happening. And we understand that Gruninger's company is also talking to other YouTube creators to launch more such interactive services in the near future. So all that we'll get into with Neil and with Chad on Wednesday. We have been assured by their PR person that, yes, they will be ready to go in this very half hour, Wednesday afternoon. So be with us first Wednesday in November, I should say. That's 48 hours from now, right here, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. The Dude Perfect TV people will join us right here on tomorrow when we televise. So, in the meantime, again, if you would like to weigh in on the death of Matthew Perry, tell us about a Friends episode you liked or some of his other TV appearances, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call while we wait for Marissa Jo Serrar from Black Cake. So give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And while we wait for your calls and your chat room thoughts, we'll get into our classic trivia question, and we'll do that after we have some words from the wonderful people at Laird Superfood. Are you ready to feel more energized, focused, and supported? Just go to LairdSuperfood.com and add nourishing plant-based foods to fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout to save 15% off your purchase today. Now, if you're looking for a better coffee experience, for example, I know a lot of you are, here's an idea. Try out Laird Superfood Creamers. They're produced from high-quality, all-natural ingredients, sustainably sourced, and whole food all the way. There are no artificial flavors, colors, or additives. Ramp up your energy and focus today with Laird Superfood Creamers. They are available at LairdSuperfood.com. That's LairdSuperfood.com. And remember, you save 15% off your purchase when you use the promo code TELEVISED, that's TELEVISED, at checkout. All right, time now, earlier than we thought, for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, second week we're offering the question, you will have 5 prizes in your possession, including 2 wonderful music CDs. the Chicago Greatest Hits CD with such wonderful tunes as If You Leave Me Now, Saturday in the Park, Feeling Stronger Every Day, I've Been Searching So Long, 25 to 64, many, many more, and the Lifetime Women in Rock Intimate Portrait CD with such great artists as The Pretenders, Pat Benatar, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, The Bangles, and so many, many more. Plus, we've got the AMC Network's free Uber card. We've got the wonderful Jeff Melvoin best-selling book, Running the Show, Television from the Inside. Jeff was on our show last month, and if you haven't checked it out, do so at blogtalkradio.com/televised or our tomorrowbetelevised.com website or any of our podcast locations. And we've got the free Redbox movie night on Crackle Connect that was given out, by the way, at Ed Week New York 2 weeks ago. Here is that question. Name the 1990s, 1996 to be specific, USA Network scripted series about a California-based beach biker patrol. Name the USA Network 1990s, specifically 1996. I know it ran about three, four seasons on the channel, started in 1996, about a California-based biker beach patrol. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you first get the correct answer, you will win. Remember, previous guests and TWBT previous winners, they are not eligible. So once again, here's that question. Name the 1990s, 1996 to be specific, USA Network series about a California-based biker beach patrol. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook Simon Applebaum or X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to play in, you got to win or win, play in. Either way, it works. So get your entry in today and all the very best. Let's say Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, is already in the room. Rick, if you have some thoughts with Matthew Perry, make the call or put in the room. 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of three episodes we are doing on Tomorrow Be Televised this week. We're also on Wednesday, and we're on Friday. Again on Wednesday, our opening half hour will be the people behind the new Dude Perfect TV channel. They have on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. We'll have Neil Gringer, the president of a parent media company, the folks behind that service, and from Dude Perfect himself, member Chad Coleman. And also on the program, we will have the chief operating officer of the new all-cricket service, Willow, Todd Myers. Willow presents cricket matches from all over the world, including the new professional league that started this summer, Major League Cricket. That's all coming your way on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Start your November with us right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Coming up near the bottom of the hour, we will be joined by the executive producer and showrunner who is working with Oprah Winfrey and others on the brand new Hulu series Black Cake that premieres on Wednesday, and that is Marissa Jo Sarar. She will join us live here in the Big Apple near the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, let's hear from you. I want to hear what you have to say about Matthew Perry, what Friends episode you liked, what you liked about his character, about his other TV performances, and your thoughts about his passing, which happened on Saturday afternoon at the age of 54. He was found in his hot tub in Los Angeles. Again, if you missed our news notes, the cause of death has not been announced. The people in the L.A. Medical Examiner's office are still investigating what led to Perry's death, and hopefully very soon they will let us and the world know. And by the way, if you also have any thoughts about the Screen Actors Guild writers' walkout now approaching 110 days, you can also make that call too, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room SimonApple04 by name. While we have a moment, some further thoughts about that opening news note that we did. You get the feeling reading the entertainment news sites like The Hollywood Reporter, Variety, The Wrap, Deadline, etc., that some substantial progress was made over the weekend, because unlike the last time around where the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA and AMPTP, that's the Alliance of TV and Film Producers, did not meet under this whole, yes, we do one day, we don't the next, and so forth, that they did meet, and they did do a lot of deal-making. There is still this sense in the production community throughout the United States that there has to be a deal by the end of tomorrow, and if not that, the end of this week. Because if not, if this strike continues, we have heard that what the alliance is prepared to do is say, if we don't get a deal, we're walking away. We are going to pretty much forget about major scripted television for the 23-24 season. It's not going to happen, certainly not in the first half of next year. So you can pretty much kiss the season goodbye. And you may as well also kiss major feature films scheduled to be released next year goodbye as well. So that's why there is urgency. That's why there's momentum on both sides to get that deal. You get the sense, particularly from the SAG-AFTRA people, that there was real progress made and that there is now momentum to get this deal done, which is why today's situation is somewhat surprising. You would think that they would be right now back at that bargaining table. They're not. We understand that they are in separate talks right now with their various membership, or at least their leaders, both SAG-AFTRA and AMPTP, to determine where do we go from here? When do we get back to the negotiating table? I would suggest tomorrow morning, early. Don't wait till like now our time. Do it early, like 8, 9 a.m. Get back to that table. Make that deal. If it looks like things are close, and it looks like a lot of progress particularly was made on the two big sticking issues. One is residuals for mega content services among the actors, whether that service is Netflix or Peacock or Paramount Plus or Apple TV Plus, and parameters for the usage of artificial intelligence involving actors. So we think there is something in the works. There is more optimism out there than there's been in a long time that this strike, which is approaching 110 days, and maybe the longest strike among actors, could finally be resolved, and the actors could get do what the directors and the writers have done, which is get back to work, as well as bring everybody else in the Hollywood, the New York, and production communities throughout the United States back in business so that we can salvage at least the second half of the broadcasting cable season in terms of scripted television, and also fill up the pipelines of all the mega content services and all the other services that are running on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. We will certainly see about that. Also, want to share with you a little bit of Matthew Perry for me. There's no question that all of the stars of Friends had their moments over the course of the 10 years that show was on NBC. And you still see Friends every day on TBS or TNT, and very, very popular mega content services also. And no question that Matthew Perry really made a name for himself by being the sort of sarcastic voice, if you will, among the Friends. Luckily got an Emmy nomination, I believe it was the final season of the show. And then he proved in other programs like Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip from Aaron Sorkin and his West Wing arc that he could do more than just sarcastic comedy. He could do drama as well. A lot of people may not remember, but during the West Wing, he was nominated twice for his work over two seasons, nominated for two Emmy Awards over two seasons of that NBC classic series. It really shocked the heck out of people that Perry passed away on Saturday afternoon local Los Angeles time, especially given that it's been a year since he really went all over the TV world with his memoirs, which were revelatory to say the least, and may have in the year since helped so many people get through depression, get through drug addiction, get through substance abuse, because they saw Perry as an example of how somebody really went through hell to get himself sober and clean. Again, we do not know what caused his death. He was found, apparently, according to sources, in his hot tub in his home in Los Angeles. And in case you didn't hear the news note, the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner's Office has said that the cause of death right now is deferred, which means they still have more investigating to do before they can make an exact determination. There have been, in some accounts of the situation, reports that there may have been amphetamines or prescription drugs that were found near the hot tub. Again, that's not substantiated. That's just some reporting, not all reporting. Hopefully the medical examiner's office will give us the full, exact, clear-cut cause of death very, very soon. Certainly, I would think before the end of the week. We will see. And again, we will devote a chunk of our show on Wednesday to Perry's career in television. And also we'll talk about his major role with those memoirs last year to really bring his private life out in the open as a way to help others who are dealing with what he dealt with, substance abuse, addiction, alcohol abuse as well. Very, very difficult life that Matthew Perry lived over 54 years. And hopefully what he did last year in bringing those memoirs out has helped so many people and will be an inspiration to others to get help. And by the way, we will find out there is a hotline available that deals with substance abuse or drug abuse, and we will put that on as part of our special segment on Wednesday. So again, that will be on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, along with the folks from Dude Perfect Television, as well as the Chief Operating Officer of Willow, Todd Myers. Incidentally, if you want to check out the Dude Perfect TV channel, it is available on smart TV sets and smart devices, including Roku and Samsung. If you want to know more about the service, here's where you go online. It's www.kidoodle.com. That's www.kidoodle.tv. So please make sure that you do check it out. And again, we apologize for the very, 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 very quick announcement that they had to cancel out because they're still dealing with whatever illness they're dealing with. And hopefully they will be nice and bright and ready to go on Wednesday. We are getting assurances from their PR people that, yes, they will be ready to go on Wednesday. And they deeply apologize for the very, very late heads up that they were not going to be there. All right? All righty. And again, this is the first of three episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised. We are bringing you live from New Weber, York, 63 degrees going toward the bottom of the hour. And we'd like to hear from you because we have our guest from Black Cake, Hulu's new scripted series, which incidentally is getting great reviews so far. We'll quote one of them from Variety when we have the executive producer and showrunner, Marissa Jo Sarar, on the program, and we expect to have her on in a matter of minutes. In the meantime, it's a good time to let you know that we appreciate you out there. We are getting, some people ask me, how many folks listen to you every week? And I say right now, hundreds. And that may be an understatement because with Zencaster, the Zencaster Creator Network, we are really exploding. Over the last week, we have gone from 500 plays of our program on Zencaster.co or .com to, get this, nearly 1,800. We have gone from nearly 600 plays of our program in less than a week, not including today, to nearly 1,800. And that's you out there. So thank you very much to all the people listening to us on Zencaster's site. Thank all of you listening to us on podcast. Remember, as soon as we go off the air, within seconds, we go on places like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Acast, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, Luminary, Audible, Amazon Music, and other great podcast locations. And we thank all of you for doing it. And again, I want to thank Podbean. It was great to meet them. Another one of our podcasts. The first we'll be talking with them on Wednesday before our show to see if we can do some additional business. I'm looking forward to talking with them. They were at NAB Show New York last week at the Javits Center. Great time had by all. So thank you to Podbean. Look forward to talking to you on Wednesday. And before we get Marissa Jo on the program, I also want you to know that Wednesday morning, you can catch me in persona on Sports News Wire. That is the daily sports news information show at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network. Sports Grid available on what smart TV sets, smart TV devices, Amazon Freevee, and other multi-channel bundles, and, of course, on the Sports Grid app as well on sportsgrid.com. So do check out Sports News Wire. We'll talk probably about the World Series numbers for the opening games of the World Series. Not looking too good right now. Other topics as well. So be sure to tune in. That's Sports News Wire with Craig and the crew That is on Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. I'll be on probably around 11:45 Eastern. That's 8:45 on the West Coast. That's on the Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, multi-channel bundles, and, of course, those bundles include Amazon Freebie. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Welcome as we come near the bottom of the hour on this pre-Halloween afternoon, final Monday of October 2023. By the way, hope all of you will have a wonderful Halloween tomorrow. Please make sure that you check the weather forecast in terms of trick-or-treating if you have kids. I know here in my neighborhood we're going to have kids going early, and we're going to have a parade also outside my street. So that'll be really great too. So do check out the Halloween activities and go with your kids if you have kids. Don't trick-or-treating. Check the food. Make sure it's okay. And make it a great, safe experience, okay, for you and everybody you love. All right? So we hope you have a great, great Halloween. And then, of course, come back with us on Wednesday. And speaking of Wednesday, this Wednesday, Hulu is going to be launching a new miniseries, executive produced in part by Oprah Winfrey, and is getting great advance reviews. It's called Black Cape. It's historical. It has a murder mystery. It has other mayhem. It also has a very unique family drama perspective. Joining us live right now, the executive producer and showrunner of the series, Marissa Jo Sarar. Marissa Jo, welcome in. Go ahead, Marissa Jo, you're on. Hold on for a second. Let's see if she is aboard. Marissa Jo, are you there? She just dropped the line. Okay, Marissa Jo, give us a call right back, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I hear you, we will get you on the air. As I said, Black Cake is premiering on Wednesday on Hulu, on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It is getting great reviews from all over the place. One of those reviews comes from Variety, and here's what they had to say. They're top TV critic, that Black Cake is a beautiful and gutting mystery drama led by rising star Mia Isaac. Black Cake is a thoughtful tapestry of what we conceal so we might remain whole. It is a very, very unique drama. And again, it premieres on Wednesday on Hulu, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. And Marissa Jo Sarar is the executive producer and showrunner, working with the likes of Oprah Winfrey and Aaron Kaplan and Carla Gardini and other executive producers, including the writer of the best-selling novel that this is all adapted from, Charmaine Wilkerson. So, Marissa, come on the line. Use our phone number, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you're ready to go on the air, we will get you on. And I believe we now have Marissa Jo Sarar on the line. Marissa, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hello. Welcome to the program. First of all, I hope you heard the Variety review that I just quoted from. The reviews seem to all agree so far that you've got a winner here.
Well, thank you. I don't read reviews, but thank you so much.
And Marissa Jo, this is a very special show for you because I understand that this book that came out really triggered something for you.
Yeah, I mean, it triggered so many things for me. The moment I read the manuscript, I just said, it has to be mine. I will fight somebody for it. I will do anything to be part of this project. I just fell in love with this main character, Covey, this mixed-race girl in a small town. I saw myself when I was living in a small town in Illinois, growing up, coming of age, you know, being the only person of color in the town and in my family and really trying. And then seeing, you know, what she has to go through to get to where she is today, you know, in Southern California as a suburban mom and everything she had to hide about her life to be the wife and mother that her children know, it just inspired me. And I had never seen that main character on in a movie or a series. I just wanted to bring her to life and to protect the text because I love the book so much, and I wanted to make sure that I could protect the amazing work that Charmaine Wilkerson did.
We're just getting started in our conversation with Madrissa Joe Sarar. She's the executive assistant showrunner of Black Cake, coming to Hulu on Wednesday. More with her after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, we reach over 90 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for the B-side. Now it's on weekdays, thanks to you. 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 Pacific. That's the B-side. Weekdays, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 2:30 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Block Talk Radio. And don't forget Best B Chart 24/7 on YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this pre-Halloween Monday of 2023. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, where it's 63 degrees and cloudy in the Big Apple at the bottom of the hour. And we are joined for this half hour near full by Marissa Jo Sarar. She is the executive producer and showrunner of Black Cake, the new scripted series that is premiering on Wednesday on that service. Marissa, we were just getting into what this miniseries or this series is all about. What do you think is the core of the series?
This is about a young girl who becomes a woman who is put in an impossible situation, and she could either, you know, in this arranged marriage, and she could either go along with it or she could take her own path, and she chooses to take her own path. And what results is, you know, a story where she is literally running for her life. She is a fugitive on the run. She's under suspicion for the murder of her husband. And we follow that 60-year journey from a small community in Jamaica to the suburbs of, you know, Southern California in present day, from the 1960s to present day.
If you have a question or comment for our guest, make that phone ring, 646-652-2906. It's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we also have our chat room around, Simon Apple 04, by name, our super fan from Philadelphia, where the Eagles won yesterday, Rick Webb. He is in the room already. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. Marissa, how long did it take to go from an idea to make this series to actually this series getting made?
Well, I read the manuscript almost a year ago, in October, in October 2020. I was scouting locations for my first project as showrunner, Women of the Movement, ABC Limited Series. So I immediately called, you know, my agent, I called the studio, Capital Entertainment, where my overall deal was, and I said, this has to be my next project. I haven't even shot my first project, but I said, this has to be my next project. So I had to film my first show, and then about a month after I wrapped production on Women of the Movement, I wrote the series pitch for Black Cake, which was an hour-long pitch of every episode, all the cliffhangers, every character, and that happened in August of 2021. We started filming in July of 2022, and we wrapped filming in February of 2023. So from reading the book to now, it's been 3 years.
Incidentally, this half hour of Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by grocery store Sun and Swell, the online store that offers a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. You know, in looking at this, are you getting goosebumps that you are working with the likes of people like Oprah Winfrey and Aaron Kaplan, who is sort of like one of the Aaron Spellings of TV in this generation, and other people, including the author?
Yeah, I mean, I am so fortunate to have all these partners. You know, Aaron Kaplan and I, this is our second project we've done together, and it's been an amazing journey and relationship, and he really believes in me and trusts me, and it's been an absolute thrill to make these two shows with him as the head. Meeting Charmaine Wilkerson, I just gushed over the book and made it very clear to her how much I loved her characters and how much I would protect her book, and I didn't want to acquire the rights to a book only to dismantle it. I loved her book, and I love her book, and I love her, and she was an amazing collaborator. Working with Oprah, having Oprah as an executive producer is obviously a dream. I am from Illinois. I went to college, film school in Chicago. I used to write Oprah letters, you know, like so many millions of other people, and when I was a kid. And so finally getting to work with her just a dream. And, you know, just obviously a Black woman, as a woman who broke so many barriers and so influential, and a woman who loves books and got America to read. She loves the book as much as I do. So it was just a dream. I had truly the collaboration with all the people, Charmaine, Aaron, Oprah, and so many hundreds of others of people on this project. It's just been a true, true dream scenario.
Explain what the title Black Cake refers to, because it's both a reference to food and it's also a reference to culture.
It is. And black cake is, you know, traditionally a, you know, cake at Caribbean weddings, but in the book it symbolizes so many things, and it's really the marriage of cultures, because black cake, you know, is derived from the British plum pudding, and then when brought to the islands, it evolved based on, you know, the people who actually live there. And people think it's like a chocolate cake, but it's really, it's kind of a fruit cake. It's rum, fruit soaked in rum in jars for months, sometimes years. And it's a way of burning the sugar and in preparing the cake where it turns black. And in its this marriage of cultures, you know, Covey is the daughter of a Chinese immigrant in Jamaica and a Jamaican woman. And she then leaves Jamaica and travels all over the world on this, you know, 60-year journey, only to let her children know that they are more than they thought. Their mother was just this Jamaican orphan, and they realize they are Chinese too, that there's so much more to their story than what they thought. And there are other characters that we'll meet along the way. I don't want to spoil, but they also, you know, are forced to look back at their identity and realize that their existence is also as a result of a marriage of many cultures. And that is what it represents to me, this mix and its characters and the locations all coming into one. And then also we just see, you know, the preparation of black cake. We had a black cake sultan on set. I mean, we wanted to make sure that we were preparing it, that our actors, when we were filming them on screen, that they were actually preparing it the way that, you know, someone in Jamaica like. And we have Covey and other characters at different moments in their life preparing black cakes. And so they symbolize different moments in her life and different turning points over the course of her journey.
Once you got the assignment to do this, what game plan did you have? Did you decide either I'm going to shoot this in sequence, the way the novel unfolds, or are you going to do it out of sequence, where you'll do some scenes first, hold other scenes for later?
Well, when I brought the book to our studio and said I wanted it to adapt it and we would take it out and sell it, I wrote a very, very detailed pitch that made it very clear the way I wanted to structure it. I didn't want to sort of figure out how to structure it once I had a writer's room. I needed to know at the very beginning exactly where everything took place. And it's a nonlinear series, and the plot unfolds in different fashion than it does in the book. It's still the same story, but we reveal information in a different way. And so, and then when, you know, after you get all the scripts written, we cast, where are we going to shoot? We're going to shoot in Jamaica. We knew we wanted to shoot in Jamaica. We wanted to be authentic. We wanted Jamaican people to be part of the crew, to be on camera and off camera. And the only way to do that was to film in Borneo, which is where we believe the book is set, even though Charmaine never specifically states where. So filming in Jamaica means you have to film at the right time of the year for the weather and the water to cooperate, because as anyone's seen, and even the trailer, you see that we're in the sea, we're in the ocean, and we weren't using a pool, like that's the sea. So we had to be there at a specific time of year, and so that is what determined how we were going to film the rest of the show. And what it's really in order, you know, when we meet Covey in the first episode, when she's a 16-year-old girl, that is Mia Isaac, our amazing lead. That's her becoming Covey for the first time. And so as she grows up and moves from country to country, that's what we were doing in our schedule. We filmed all of Jamaica at once, even if you see things happen in episode 8, but we shot all of Jamaica, but those are all, you know, flashbacks. So then we moved to Wales, to Cardiff, Wales, where our soundstage is, and we also shot in London. We shot in Italy, and we shot in Southern California. But we really, for the most part, we filmed in order.
We are talking with Marissa Jo Cesar. She is the executive producer and showrunner of Black Cake, is the new scripted series, also executive produced by Oprah Winfrey and by the author of the book, Charmaine Wilkerson, as well as Aaron Kaplan. Very, very, very productive and very prolific series TV producer. And the series premieres this Wednesday on Hulu, available on smart TV sets and devices, as well as multi-channel bundles, in some cases your local cable operator. And Marissa Jo joins us live this half hour right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Time to have fun with you live from New York, pre-Halloween Monday 2023, 63 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb, our superfan from Philadelphia, already in the room. First of three episodes we are doing this week on Tomorrow Be Televised, going out of October, going November. Our next episode is November 1st, less than 48 hours from now. And we will have, in our opening half hour, yes, in our opening, we will have the folks behind the new Dude Perfect TV channel that launched earlier this month. We'll have from a panel, Parent Media Co., the president and chief executive, Neil Gruninger, which put the channel together, and from Dude Perfect themselves, one of their key members, Chad Coleman. And then in our second half hour, we'll talk about the all-cricket channel, Willow, with chief operating officer, Todd Myers, and we will also have a special segment with also giving your thoughts on the recent death of Matthew Perry over the weekend. It's all coming up on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Let's talk about Mia Isaac. How did you find her, and what does she bring to this production?
Mia is a gift. She brings everything. You know, the Covey is the soul of the book and of the series. And finding the actress to portray her was, you know, priority one the moment we had our scripts written. And she was found through our amazing, you know, casting director, Aisha Coley, and her associate, Vanessa Toll. We did an international search, and we saw this tape from Atlanta. And when I saw Mia's tape, she was, I think, recorded probably in her bedroom, of Covey, I just knew. That was really the first time I heard Covey, because I had the book, but I had never really seen this actor or this character before. There aren't a lot of these main characters in TV shows and movies, so I just knew instantly that she was Covey, and I was just so thrilled that it all worked out. And we, you know, she brings everything. She goes through an entire life over the course of these eight episodes. She is put in traumatic situations. She lives, you know, a simple high school life, you know, falling in love for the first time. She gets married against her will. There's so much that she has to go through, and not to mention an accent and different time periods. She did it all, and she was such a pro, always early, the best attitude. She was an absolute dream to work with, and I can't wait to work with her again. I'm so grateful to Mia.
In fact, you have a very, very diverse cast. In addition to Mia, you also have someone who has toiled in the fields of television and film for a long time. I'm talking about the wonderful actor, Glenn Turman.
Yeah. I love Glenn. I worked with Glenn before on my first show, Women of the Movement, and I didn't think he would even take a role this small as Mr. Mitch, but I knew if he did, he would elevate every scene. Glenn just has this, it's the way he is in real life. He's so charming. The charisma just oozes off him, and he's so deep and so real. And he, you know, read the scripts and agreed to do it, and I was so happy to have him with Adrienne Warren again, who also starred on my last show, Women of the Movement. Glenn just elevates every scene. He doesn't have to do anything. He can, like, wink. He can, you know, breathe in, and you just start crying. He's just so good, and he really elevated Mr. Mitch off the page, you know, into outer space. He's so, so fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the person who is directing this series. Her name is Italia Lete. Some people might know her as one of the directors on The Handmaid's Tale. She will be, by the way, directing some of the episodes of the final season coming soon. Talk about working with her, because she has a very unique background in both film and TV. And what was it like for her, as well as you, to bring this story to life?
Well, Natalia directed the first three episodes of eight, and it was a lot. I mean, I don't know her, first of all. We just met. We met through traditional means. You know, she read the script, we talked, and, you know, we hired her to do the job. And what I loved about her is that her films is they're edgy. And, you know, there's so much heart in Black Cake and the scripts and in the book. And I wanted to make sure we had some edge, too, so nothing felt saccharine, so nothing felt cheesy. And I told her, I was like, if it ever feels too much, you tell me, and then we'll slice through the sweet saccharine, we'll slice through the sugar. And she definitely brought that. And her eye, and working with our DP, Richard, who was a DP on episodes 2 and 3, they worked so beautifully together and really were in sync with each other. I think it was really, really, really difficult, though. We're shooting in the sea, you know, we're filming a hurricane, we're filming surfing, we have children in the sea. We have so much going on here. I think it was a huge challenge and a massive departure from the work that she's done previously, but it's just so, she did such an absolutely amazing job in those first 3 episodes, grateful.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I just was saying I'm so grateful to her and proud of everything that she did.
Hmm. Who else directed episodes, and how do you make sure that what one director builds, as it's highlighted in the first 3 episodes, keeps going, keeps building momentum?
What the tone of the show is. And that we understood that we're all making the same show and that it's, you know, consistent. And that is just part of my job as a showrunner, is just to make sure I'm in constant communication with all the department heads and our director, and just having very, very, very long detailed meetings where we go over every single line spoken, every single line unspoken in every script. And then just being on set and being there to answer questions and to collaborate, to problem solve. Our other directors, the director of episodes 4 and 5 is Tara Nicole Ware. The director of episode 6 is Mario Van Peebel. And the director of episode 7 and 8 is Zetna Fuentes. And Zetna is actually the only director that I've worked with before. And so she was someone we worked with together each other 10 years ago on my 3rd episode of television that I ever wrote as a staff writer. So it was really cool to be able to work with her as a showrunner.
Tell me about working with Mario Van Peebles. We know him both as actor, but we also know him as a very, very good director, both of film and TV.
It was great. He is, you know, I grew up watching him, you know, and he ends up actually acting in the show just by circumstance, because the actor who was going to play his role, I think, you know, had to drop out for some reason or another. And so he just stepped in and played a role and directed himself a day of. So it was fantastic working with him. The actors loved him. He brought a very unique energy, a very fun energy to set, and it was great meeting him and working with him. He's a really, really lovely guy.
Mm-hmm. If you have any questions in our mini minutes with Marissa Jo Sarar from Black Cake, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And for those of you coming in at the bottom of the hour, stay tuned. We will have the classic trivia question for you before we leave you at the top of this hour. Tell us about your rise into the TV movement. How did it happen? And you mentioned you've done Women of the Movement, acclaimed series for ABC, mm-hmm. but where did the Marissa Jo Sarar story start?
It sounds so cliche. I've always known I wanted to be a writer since I was a little kid. I was a big reader, and I just watched endless hours of television and video rentals when I was a kid. But I, you know, went to film school intending to write feature films. And then the industry really changed by the time, you know, I graduated film school, and TV really became the place where writers really were able to get their vision across, and where writers are the boss in TV. And so after writing a bunch of feature scripts that really went nowhere, I'd optioned a couple, but nothing was ever produced, I was advised to write a TV pilot. And so I wrote one. And then this show called The Fosters, which was on ABC Family at the time. It was a brand new show. The pilot script was out, and they were about to order it. And my agent, who knew that I was one of 8 adopted children, my parents were foster parents growing up, he knew my story, and then called and called and called and made sure that they read me and met me. And that's how I got my first staff writing job 10 years ago. And after 3 years being part of making 62 episodes of television, I moved on to the Fox limited series Shots Fired, where I got to work with the amazing Gina Prince Bythewood and Reggie Ruck Bythewood. Then I went from that show, it was a limited series, I went and worked on season 2 of 13 Reasons Why, that absolutely huge Netflix hit at the time. And that was, I was really responsible for a lot. I ran my own writer's room, and I was on set all the time for that. And after that, I went to work on season 3 of The Handmaid's Tale, which was, you know, at the time my favorite show. And I loved it so much. And it was really, I was just such a huge fan of the writing and on that show, and obviously the acting and the production. And when I was on hiatus from my third season, my first season, but the third season of Handmaid's Tale, I met Aaron Kaplan, and he had a bunch of ideas and liked my scripts and was a fan of my work and presented me with these ideas. And one of them was the Mamie Till Mobley story. And I just couldn't say no. I really wanted to tell that story. And I had a very specific vision of how I wanted to tell it. And then we made that show together. So, but it was, you know, from my first staff writing gig to my first show running gig, I think it was seven years.
Incidentally, Joanne Johnson, one of the executive producers of The Fosters, a marvelous show on ABC Family at the time of being Switched at Birth and other groundbreaking ones, was on our show, and it was a wonderful interview. She was really terrific, and The Fosters, and of course there's the sequel to that, which is still on ABC Family, or now Freeform, was really terrific.
Yes.
And if you have blogtalkradio.com/televised, check out the interview. It was really, really something and really, really special. It seems like you lean a lot toward groundbreaking shows. Do you ever feel that way? That like that's the way your career has gone, that you lean a lot toward groundbreaking shows in one way or another?
I don't know if I look at it as groundbreaking, but I think it's just, is it about something I care about? And is it something I really haven't seen, or I feel like I have to work on it? You know, The Fosters, obviously, it's my life growing up and being, you know, and living in a family with a bunch of children from different families all coming together to make one family. And so I wanted to tell the truth and to use my life and to be able to offer it up to the show, which I did. And then Shots Fired, you know, police killings at the time, you know, there hadn't been a lot of those shows made and really getting deep and talking about the human cost. And, you know, 13 Reasons Why, you know, teen suicide, bullying, sexual assault, all of these things, I care about all of these issues, but it's really about how are we going to tell these stories. And if I feel like we can tell it in a really honest way, sometimes if it's brutal and challenging, which most of these shows are, including, you know, Handmaids and then the Women of the Movement, I just feel like that's where I'm used best. I would never accept a job just for a paycheck. I wanted it to be where I feel like I'm the right specific writer for the job. And I felt like for those shows and for these projects of my own, that these were the stories that I was suited to tell, that I was put here to tell.
But also, in a way, suggests that the audience out there, the viewers, are ready to take that material. They're ready to accept that material. And they're willing to look at it as it is. What's next for you?
Well, I have a show that I'm going to take out in the beginning of the year that is an original, my own idea, very much inspired by some of my own life, my crazy life. And then I hope that enough people watch Black Cake, that we get a season 2, because we intentionally didn't tell the whole story of the book in season 1. And there's so much more to tell, and we want to really go deeper on some of the characters we meet in season 1, we introduce later in season 1. So I hope Black Cake season 2, and then I have an original idea. I can't share anything about it, but I'll be taking it out at the top of 2024.
Again, the series is Black Cake, and it premieres on Wednesday on Hulu. Available on smart TV sets, smart devices, multi-channel bundles, in some cases with your local cable operator. For more details about the program and the service online, go to Hulu.com, H-U-L-U.com, that's Hulu.com. Black Cake, also executive produced by Oprah Winfrey, Aaron Kaplan, a cast of thousands, including the author of the book, Charmaine Wilkerson. And again, that premieres Wednesday on Hulu. Marissa Jo Sarar, thank you very, very much for coming on. It's been a delight having you. Congratulations on the advanced reviews. And if more come the way, it looks like this series is going to be not only a great one, but maybe a long-running one.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome, Marissa. Take care. Enjoy the week.
You too. Bye.
Marissa Jo Sarar joining us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, Black Cake comes your way starting Wednesday on Hulu. Clacker trivia question coming up, but first, some words from the fine folks at Sunswell. Sunswell, in case you don't know, is the first online grocery store with a fine line of healthy, great-tasting foods that come to you in plastic-free, compostable packaging. Every item is 100% vegan, gluten-free, and free of added preservatives or ingredients like rolled oats, trail mix, apple pie bars, energy bites, banana chips, nuts, and so much more. And their site has received more than 1,000 five-star reviews. If you're looking for a more planet-friendly pantry, well, shop Sunswell and get 20% off site-wide when you go to sunandswellfoods.com. Use the promo code TELEVISE at checkout. That's 20% off your entire order when you use the promo code TELEVISE at sunandswellfoods.com. One more time, for those of you who missed it early in the hour, our classic trivia question of the week, five prizes in play if you know the answer to this. Name the 1990s, 1996 to be specific, USA Network scripted series about a California-based biker beach patrol. Name the 1990s USA Network scripted series about a California-based biker beach patrol. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and your mailing address, and first with the correct answer, you win. Previous winners and TWT guests are not eligible. No winner by today. We will post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter or X at UBC Simon TWT. In order to win, you got to be in, so do so, and all the very best. Again, I want to thank Marissa Jo Sarar for coming on. We are sorry that we did not get the guests from Dude Perfect TV on the first half hour, and they will be on our next program, which is less than 40 hours from now. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific. We will have Neil Gwenninger, a parent media company president, the person who organized Dude Perfect TV earlier this month, and Dude Perfect member Chad Coleman. Also on the program, Chief Operating Officer of the All Cricket Network, Willow, Todd Myers, and our special segment on the death of Matthew Perry, the former Friends co-star. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast, available 24/7 at our more than 40 great podcast sites, and also on our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, for the fine people at On Podium. Love to hear from you. What's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going, as well as the guests we have on this program and the shows or the networks they do? Well, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, X, or Twitter. That's Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Whatever you say, we say back to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other stewards of this program. Andy Toe is BeatStars General Manager. Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website services provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitar Spakus is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by online grocery Sun and Swell, offering a world of delicious snacks and pantry faves anytime. And by Laird Superfood, the plant-based coffee creamers and other products that fuel you from sunrise to sunset. Remember, if you would like to make a contribution to the emergency relief funds that are being set up for the state of Israel, you can go to such sites as www.ujafednewyork.org, that's ujafedny.org, or www.jta.org and israaid.org. That's www.jta.org or israaid.org. Any contribution you make is greatly appreciated, and it will help the state of Israel as it goes through its current war with Hamas. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful rest of your pre-Halloween day. And please, if you're going out with your kids for Halloween tomorrow, have it be safe and have it be great. We're back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, speaker to the radio, and all of our podcasts and web goods. Again, if you're going out tomorrow with your kids, or if your kids are going out on Halloween, please make sure they're in great care and they have a great, safe, and wonderful Halloween to wrap up October 2023. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.